The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, 'Destroy those murderers and burn their city.' Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all who they found, both good and bad, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed there was a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, this is the gospel of our Lord. A story of beating and murder for simply not attending a wedding banquet. A story of a king who is gracious but then turns around and is vengeful. A story of a king who encourages all to come and eat, rich and poor, good and bad. But when they don't show up according to standards, they are bound with weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Sometimes the texts that we are presented with, we don't choose these, it's in a 3-year lectionary cycle, cause us to pause and wonder, what is God really getting at in this text? As we discussed this past week with most of the Lutheran pastors in North Carolina gathered together for our fall convocation at Lutheridge, the first thing we decided was that all of us would take the week off. But when we realized that wasn't possible, we decided to take this text head on. To acknowledge what it is, to understand who we are as God's people, and how we're supposed to use a difficult and vengeful and violent text like this in our lives and in our lives of faith. So I think to do this fairly and to do this right, the first thing we need to do is a little bit of exegesis. That's just a fancy preaching word for studying of the text and understanding its context and where it comes from. So this is the Gospel of Matthew, which was written by most scholars, understanding somewhere in the 80s, maybe even to 90. Matthew was aware that he was specifically writing to an audience of Jewish Christians who were trying to understand how their faith might be both, but how Matthew wanted to draw them to simply be Christians. But this was also at a time where there was a great chasm and tension between the establishment and the government and that of the religious people. For in the year 70 AD, just a few years before Matthew was put together and published for the world to know, the Romans and their empire had come and destroyed the Jewish temple there in Jerusalem. And so 70 AD, the fall of the temple, is a critical point in first century history, as we come to understand that great distance between those who were in charge and those who were living their lives. Something that would make sense as we begin to digest this text a little bit more. But 2,000 years later, we as readers often try to put these gospel contexts into our own life context. And that is indeed one of my challenges as a preacher each week, to stand up here in the pulpit and connect God's story told thousands of years ago with our story and the life we lead now. And when we do that right, it is the word of God shared among God's people. So what are we supposed to do with a text that recognizes that the world and the establishment and the government and the people and those who are trying to simply live lives of religious faith often find themselves in chasm and tension with one another? What are we to do when we see a great division among neighbors at all levels, both faith and otherwise? How are we to live when we see those who run away from the invitation to the banquet, knowing fully what God has in store for us, but don't have any desire in being part of it? And so we to try to find our space in this story and recognize that it is hard to do. But when we fully come to understand the grace that Jesus is sharing in this text, we see it at even a deeper level than simply a king who is mad because this wedding banquet for his son isn't going as planned. God has indeed prepared for us a banquet. It is no accident today that this text is connected with Psalm 23, that the cup overflows and goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And that the words we hear from Paul proclaiming, "Rejoice in the Lord always," are indeed an invitation to, as we said with the children, rejoice, celebrate, give thanks for all that God has given us. But we know that there is a disconnect in the world. And we often find that disconnect in our lives, in our relationships. Maybe sometimes we feel like the king, just wanting to keep family together, wanting to keep connected in our daily lives, but we so often struggle with having those relationships torn by the world around us. Maybe we feel like the one who never quite fits like we feel like we fit in at the banquet, and when we're finally addressed because of it, we're left speechless. There's lots of places within this text to ponder where we might be. But the most important thing to remember in all of this is where God is. God prepares a banquet for us, a banquet that is beyond any imagery that is drawn out in a king's evil intentions. When God prepares for us a banquet made known through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so when we sing phrases like, "This is the feast," we are reminded that all of the struggles and tensions of the world are overcome by a loving Christ whom God sent into the world to live and die and rise for us. And it is there that we can find hope and peace when a text like this suggests otherwise. I asked my friends a question as we studied this text this week. What if this was your first ever Sunday in church? What if this was the first time that you walked into a church? Because your friends had told you about a loving God who cares for all. Your friends had told you about a promise of God's grace that they were able to articulate in their lives. And so you say, "Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll give this a try." And you walk into church, and this is the first text you hear: weeping and gnashing of teeth. A God who destroys because you don't show up to the banquet. We could wonder if we would ever show up again. But in the midst of all that, God keeps inviting us to the banquet. In the midst of all the tension and chaos in the world, God keeps bringing us in. And so maybe this is the best day to hear God's word for the first time, because we are reminded that no matter how broken the world is around us, no matter how torn apart relationships are in the world, no matter how wide the chasm between us and our neighbor, God brings it all together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And today we have the opportunity to proclaim that in an act of faith that we shared in at our 8:30 worship service this morning. Because guess what? There is someone in our faith community who is new to her life of faith. Her name is Marlo Marie Andrews. She is the daughter of Stephen and Emily Andrews. You watch those two grow up and fall in love in youth group. And now here they are years later bringing their daughter to be baptized this day. It was a wonderful celebration this morning as we gathered. And one of the things that I looked and told Marlo as a new sister in Christ and in a new life of faith is this, that amongst the banquet in the world and all of the struggles that we face, the promises of God's banquet will overcome all that scares us. That's the peace that passes all understanding. That's what Paul writes about in the book of Philippians. That when this world seems broken and torn apart, we can find a peace in God that can be found nowhere else in the world. And as I was privileged in my first baptism here at Augsburg to lay water on her forehead in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, knowing that God was fully present there in that moment in water and in word, we promised to Marlo the same thing that has been promised to each of us. That as God's children, invited to the banquet, no matter how often we show up, no matter what we wear, no matter what we forget to do or whom we fail to invite or how fast we run from the invitation, that God loves us. And that love can never be taken away. And so Marlo heard the promise today that we are reminded of each week when we come to the table, that our sins are forgiven and we are promised life everlasting. That when we are baptized into a life of faith, we are baptized into a promise of faith. And so when we hear difficult words and we wonder, would anybody come back if this is the first that we heard? We recognize our place at the banquet. Our place at the banquet is not simply to come here for an hour and rejoice, but to rejoice in the Lord always. Going out into every aspect of our lives, finding those who have been rejected from the banquet table, finding those who have no idea what they'd wear, finding those who feel that chasm and tension in their daily lives, and reminding them of the love of Christ, the love of Christ that was shared with Marla this morning, the love of Christ promised to us each day. That's a gospel we can understand. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.